Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this week from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau. And now joining me on the phone, James Rankin. He's the 19th president of the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. He's originally from Draper and Fort Pierre. He graduated from Mines in 1978. Most recently, he was vice provost for research and economic development at the University of Arkansas. He joins me now on the phone. Dr. Rankin, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And now, how long have you been at the helm of Mines right now?
Well, I started back here on January 8th of this year, so just a little bit over 2 months.
All right. What can happen in 2 months? Do you hit the ground running? Is that something that you come in with big plans and start enacting them, or is it a more of a listening time for you?
It's a little bit of a listening time. I've got some ideas that I'm interested in putting forward, but I'm going around to the different departments that we have on campus, talking to the faculty and the staff, finding out what they see as opportunities for their department, hear what they think are challenges for their department, so that I've got an idea of what the campus is looking at, and also getting a chance to go to the different student activities and student organizations, finding out what our student body is thinking, where they see our opportunities to move forward. And also, it's been a really interesting time. I've made a lot of visits with local community members and with our alums who are still connected to the school, and find out how we continue to keep those connections strong.
And what can you tell us about what you're learning? Are you learning some of the same things from alums as you do from the student body and the community, or does each group and the faculty, or does each group sort of bring, a divergent, viewpoint that could even conflict with each other?
They do. They are divergent in some cases. We have some interesting conversations that way. I think one of the topics that we've been talking about is how do we grow enrollment. I think that that's a topic we want to make sure. We've got just about 2,400 undergraduate students right now and 400 graduate students for a 2,800 total student body count. We're looking at what should we have 3,000 undergraduate students. And if we do that, we have the classroom space to do that, but we're taking a look at our lab space. Engineering and science is very much a hands-on lab when you're getting your undergraduate degree. We want to make sure that we can handle that kind of an increase without slowing down student progress. We want people to be able to get through in 4 years if that's their interest, or some of them take 5 years if they want to go out and do an internship or a co-op experience working with industry. So we've had some good discussions on enrollment. Are there some new programs we ought to look at adding? There's obviously some concern from alumni and students. They don't want it to look like we're just opening up the gates, but we want to make sure that we're doing a good job. We're recruiting good students that can come in and are successful in the majors that we have.
Is that a challenge to recruit the kind of students that you need that will be successful? Is that changing over time? Are high schools not preparing students for the kind of rigor that they would experience at Mines?
No, there's still excellent students out there, and we continue to recruit students. It's just that students want to go different places. And so we have to make sure that we're competitive with some of our other universities. We know that we're providing great quality. Our students, nine of the last 10 years, we've had a placement rate of 98%, so we know that industry and graduate students just love the graduates that come out of the School of Mines, and they're starting with a starting salary of $63,000, so it's a very competitive field, and there's great students out there, and we're just trying to make sure we're doing our best to recruit them so that they can come to the School of Mines.
You graduated in 1978, so a few things have changed since then. Tell me what some of the things are that have stayed the same, that you recognize and say, this is absolutely what my experience was in 1970s.
Well, there are still some traditions that are here. I was able to dig out my senior hat and my freshman beanie. I still had those in a box someplace, and so they're looking a little worse for wear at this after 40 years, but we still have the senior hats, and we still have the freshman beanies. We do the M Hill tradition, so that's
explain that. I don't know the M Hill tradition.
Likes.
Explain the M Hill tradition for those who don't know.
Oh, it's if we have SDM for South Dakota Mines up on a hill in almost downtown Rapid City that gets whitewashed, but every graduate from the School of Mines has their name on a plate up there. And so at homecoming every year, they take it up and they install the new plate with the new list of graduates that are going to be coming out.
Yeah. How about other ideas that you sort of came in when you first decided to come back home to this place? Thoughts on increasing diversity, increasing research? I read that those were things that were interesting to you or compelling. How do you feel about those now moving forward?
Oh, there's still a lot of opportunity in those areas. I've taken a look at our student body. We're about 75 to 80% male and 20 to 25% female. We'd really like to do a great job in recruiting more girls to go into science and engineering and come to our campus. Just last week, we had a Women in Science activity that the local community put on. I believe there were 700 middle school girls on our campus learning and getting some hands-on experiences in science and engineering. And we really need to start at that level. You know, we can't wait till somebody's a senior before we start trying to recruit them. We need to be telling the story that math and science and engineering are fun, and there's really some opportunity in getting involved. I think we also have some diversity. I think that there's some good opportunity to increase the number of Native American students we have on campus. There's also some opportunity for Hispanic, some of the underrepresented groups. We really need to look at diversity, including international students. I'm really a believer that as a student graduates from the School of Mines, if we haven't given them an opportunity to study in a diverse environment, we're really not fulfilling what they need as they get out and start their career.
What sort of conversations do you think we need to have with young women to say this is a viable career? What's holding them back? I'm sure it's more than, you know, that, hey, this is fun.
Well, it's sometimes, you know, and I'm going back to some of the anecdotal data I've heard, but sometimes, you know, a male student who's more of an average student wants to get in engineering because they see the hands-on opportunities and they can come in and get involved. A lot of times a girl, if she's not at the top of her class, won't be thinking about engineering and science, and we need to broaden that. We need to have them understand that there's a lot of opportunity. If you enjoy math or you enjoy science, there's a lot of things you can do at this campus to excel in those areas and to get a job when you're done.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your personal interests. I understand you have a love of aviation research.
I do. It's one of the things that when I was here, we had a Hard Rocker Flying Club, so I learned to fly as a student here, which was very interesting and helped me get my first job in the aviation industry. My understanding is we don't have a Hard Rocker Flying Club anymore, which is too bad. I don't know if we'll see that come back, but that's something I was surprised to have it disappear. But there weren't many jobs for electrical engineers when I graduated back in 78, and so I had to leave the state. I went down to Iowa to Rockwell Collins and spent my time designing instruments for Boeing, the 757, the 767, things of that nature, flight deck instruments. And then kind of went on from there into collision avoidance and surveillance, radar, replacements for radar. So I've been doing a lot in that area. One of the things I did after I started teaching at St. Cloud State after I was at Rockwell and then went to Ohio University, and we had a very huge research center there. So I had 7 airplanes that we would go out and do research with, everything from a DC-3 to a Saratoga to a Cessna to a Bonanza. And we'd go around the U.S. doing flight tests for the FAA and NASA. So it was always a lot of fun because I could walk out and pick an airplane and then go do a trip or go do research. And so it was an interesting opportunity.
Are you still flying?
I am not. It was great at Ohio University when I could grab an airplane and not have to pay for it. When you have to pay for it, it's not so much fun.
Different. So are you the person who's going to bring us flying cars, or who knows who is going to bring us flying cars in the future?
It's right around the corner. I'm of the age group where the Jetsons were on TV when I was young.
And, right. Yeah.
You know, it's going to be the Jetsons sometime. When I talk to young students that come to campus, I tell them, you know, we are only limited by your imagination. You know, that's what's going to move us forward. And, you know, Uber Elevate, which is Uber's version of a flying car, is supposed to come to Dallas in 2020 and to Dubai in 2020. It's right around the corner. So it's going to be interesting to see how this happens. And my research with my graduate student is, how do we take flying cars and integrate them into the air traffic control system so that we avoid airplanes?
What does that look like? Is that, you know, what kind of vehicle does it look like?
Well, I think when you first start out, it's probably going to look like some kind of a one of these drone quadcopters, only larger, or a helicopter. But at some point, it will be almost a hoovering capability. You know, if you were doing this in New York City, you probably have to get up high enough that you get above the buildings.
Right.
Because otherwise, you'd be limited to what the streets are. And I mentioned that to the Chief Jaggeras the other day, is he's going to have to think about how to give speeding tickets when you're not on the ground anymore.
I said, there's all kinds of things to be thought of
exactly.
Here. Yeah. Is that part of an education, you know, at a place like South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, where you not only talk about, you know, the imagination of what you can create and what can happen, but the responsibilities of it, the challenges of it, and whether or not you should go in a certain direction?
Oh, exactly. You know, the engineering ethics and what you can do and what you should be doing is part of our curriculum. It's involved in our coursework. And, you know, there's lots of things that can be done to help humanity, and we want to make sure that our students are thinking that way. But we also want them to be thinking about, how could you take this technology and go create a company so we can create more jobs in South Dakota?
Right. Do you encourage folks to stay here? And how do you encourage mine grads to either stay here or, you know, further education and then come back to South Dakota?
Exactly. It's interesting, is I go around and talk to a lot of our alumni. We found that they've gone off and had a career someplace, but they come back to retire in the Black Hills. And so if there were more jobs in South Dakota, in the Black Hills region, you'd see more of our alums staying in this particular area. So that's part of our challenge. How do we start companies, and how do we create jobs so that they have an opportunity to stay here?
Dr. James Rankin, thank you so much. 19th president of South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Hopefully we'll have you back and again as you have further insight for us. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and I hope you all have a great day.